like we are ready to move on to item three. Good timing on that. So, Madam Clerk, would you call item three?
Item number three from the President of UWM Real Estate Foundation, Inc., and the Development Director of City of Wauwatosa, providing a verbal status update on real estate activities on Milwaukee County grounds. This item is informational only and thus otherwise directed by the committee.
Good morning, everyone. If you could just please identify yourselves so we know who we have here.
And I more or less just invited myself, hopefully to be of some help in informational purposes, but Jim Archambault, City Administrator for Wauwatosa.
And I'm Dave Gilbert, President of the UWM Real Estate Foundation.
Thank you all for being here. We really appreciate that. Mr. Gilbert, I think number three is more specifically with regard to the UWM Real Estate Foundation. And providing a verbal status update on the on your real estate activities on the county grounds there. So if you could provide that, we'd appreciate it.
Sure thing. And I'm pleased to be here. It's been quite some time since I've been before you, and I can report that we've made steady progress, if not speedy progress, on basically all fronts. And I'm pleased to be here with our partners with the City of Wauwatosa, who have truly been working hard with us. That's where our focus has been after the county approvals we received. We've been working on getting the city approvals for the various projects that are going to take place on our innovation campus. I'll start with the wildlife habitat. We have fully funded that for the last 2 years. Jim Reinarts, who's our faculty expert on wildlife habitat and prairie restoration, could not be here this morning because he's actually out at the site working with the landscape architects on various projects. However, I emailed him over the weekend and said, Jim, is it fair to say that you're pleased with the progress we're making with the wildlife habitat? And I'll just read you his answer. Dave, absolutely. The work in 2012 went exactly according to plan. All of the invasive control was accomplished and, in fact, far exceeded expectations. No teasel produced seed in 2012, and more buckthorn was eliminated than we had planned. So the environmental groups are very happy with the progress that we've made, and we're certainly going to fully fund that again this year. Our accelerator building, we've worked through all the red tape. This is a federal grant, and it took quite some time to get this building moving forward. I'm pleased to say that we now have a signed contract with Myron Construction to build the first building there, and that's essentially a place where academia and industry will meet. So we'll have our faculty in it, it will have industry scientists in it, and together they will hopefully create great synergy and collaboration. Their mobilization date was actually a week ago Monday, and it will be completed in 310 days according to the contract. So we're very pleased that we're finally underway with that, and some representatives from Myron are here to speak on the next topic in a few moments. And as far as our academic building, everybody's excited about this at the state level. We are told that this spring there'll be a RFP out for an architect to begin planning the building, and then we will move from there. So on those fronts, everything is going quite well. And then the next topics I'll turn over to Paulette.
Okay, I can speak on the infrastructure side of the project. The contract on the infrastructure was awarded in December. Construction began in January of 2013. And part of that, the beginning of that construction was the removal of the trees that were determined that it was necessary to remove them in order to install the roadway. And if I could mention, too, that there was an inventory that was undertaken by the UWM Real Estate Foundation that did determine that a majority of those trees were not viable trees, and every tree that was removed will be replaced. and that coordination was done between the UWM Real Estate Foundation, our landscape architects, contractors, and that's outlined in the construction documents. So it does show the trees that were to be removed as well as replaced. And the reason for that significant, I guess, grading in that area on the eastern side of the site on the southern edge had to do with a requirement by DOT, and that had, when they increased the on-off ramps, that ended up kind of shifting the development to the east. The drive was initially on the western side of the site. It was then moved to the eastern side of the site, required significant grading. So thus the removal of those trees. In addition, about 50% of those trees would have been taken out by the widening of Watertown Plank for this construction. And so 50% of the trees removed just, you know, by DOT requirements. And then also a part of that had to do with the protection of the habitat area, which was in the agreement between the county and UWM. So we're hoping to wrap up in August of 2013, and the building is scheduled, the accelerator is scheduled to be completed around November of 2013.
Tell me, Ms. Summers, do you need the thumb drive for this presentation?
What I was going to do was show you the construction site,
okay,
so that you could get a better visual.
You'll see if...
As if we have a newer version, and so he'll be okay, but I can continue on. So what happened as a part of the moving of Discovery Parkway, or the roadway, was the mayor at the time, Eric Moe, set up a mayor's task force. We had four meetings of that task force that talked about things such as the entrance, the landscaping, any significant retaining wall that was required. In addition, there were at least, I think there were two committee of the whole meetings that also discussed that issue. So it was publicly vetted. There were obviously concerns, but I think that in general people were understanding of the fact that we were mandated to move that roadway. The other good news is, and I think Dave had mentioned it, was ABB. And ABB, there's now a letter of intent between Zilber and ABB. They're moving through their entitlement process with the city. They went before our design review board for preliminary discussion. They'll be going through our land use approval as well as a TIF amendment. There's actually a joint review board that'll be held this week, followed by a public hearing of the CDA the following week. And then they'll move through the process that's mandated by the state of Wisconsin for a TIF amendment. And so we're hoping to wrap that up, if all goes well, by the end of February. And ABB is planning on construction sometime during the month of March.
Anyone else on this item? Mr.
Okay. The what I wanted to lead into, and really was to go back just a little bit. Everybody will remember that this development of the Innovation Campus has always been a partnership of many partners, not just the county and UWM Real Estate Foundation, the city, the Federal Department of Economic Development Administration, and all of that has been with an eye toward a very delicate balance. Very delicate balance between the values of preserving green space, historic preservation, and economic development. With that in mind, we, as was indicated, we created a TIF district because in the end, something has to be able to pay for the preservation of the green space, the historic preservation, et cetera. And so as we have begun to develop Discovery Parkway, as just one example, there has to be a mechanism by which that gets paid for. That mechanism is the development itself. As we have looked at this specifically with regard to the Eschweiler buildings, we have had, through UWM Real Estate Foundation, a residential developer who has come in, spent about 18 months developing what at this point is two scenarios, one of which is to preserve all of the Eschweiler buildings. The other is to preserve the administration building and convert others of the Eschweiler buildings into a walled garden. We, through our due diligence, hired a company by the name of Springstead to come in and evaluate those financial conditions, essentially to see if or to what extent pure economics would pay for that project. In that study of both of those approaches, they've identified that there is a financial gap. In the case of the walled gardens, the lesser preservation version, that gap is identified at approximately $2.5 million. In the version that preserves all of those buildings, the gap is about $6.5 million. The ways in which that gap can be filled are perhaps numerous, but none so easily or viably as things like reducing the cost of the project. For example, reducing the amount of structured parking that's necessitated by the green space that's being preserved. Additionally, through the use of additional TIF resources put toward that effort. Or, as I mentioned in the two versions, less historic preservation. Well, back to the original idea, the original goal of balancing all three of those elements, we have a gap to overcome. Whether this is directly on point of what you thought we were going to talk about, I at least wanted to communicate to you that there is a financial gap. It's been verified that it's legitimate, and I think it is probably prudent and necessary that we all come back, all of our partners, to looking at that gap and seeing if there isn't a way in which we can bridge it. So, for instance, and I tend to be blunt because that's how we get through difficult issues, but it may involve the county having to reduce the purchase price. That's one mechanism that perhaps we can get somewhere toward bridging that gap if that original goal of balancing the economic development, the preservation, and the habitat, if that's still our goal, I think that we partners all need to come back together and figure out how, in fact, we do that. We did have a meeting this past Tuesday with our full council, and I can assure you, to the extent that I can ever predict a vote, I think I can assure you that the city is not going to fill that gap solely with TIF revenue. I think it will take work of all of the partners to fill that gap. So that's about all I had to say. But perhaps now that we've got the PowerPoint working, if you'd like, we could go through those slides just real quickly.
Yeah, why don't we get your information out and on the table, and then I know committee members probably have quite a few questions. I have a few as well. So please, why don't you finish, and then we'll get to the questions.
I can do this quickly. This is a rendering of the accelerator building. So UWM Foundation's building that was in part funded by the Economic Development Administration. So this is set to begin construction as part of the infrastructure development. This just gives you an overview of the original Caballa-Washatco plan And then the current master plan for UWM Innovation Campus, you can see that it shows quite a bit more green space. Part of that was created just by the sheer fact that the habitat area was set aside. And then also what's happening with the DOT and the interchange, that increased that, as well as not developing to the scale that was originally recommended by Kabalo-Oshatko. This does show the campus infrastructure, and it shows the moving of the roadway. Originally, it was on the more western side of the site, and it is now.
Maybe actually, identify, you know, that's Watertown.
Yes, Watertown.
Nice, Leonard Swamp Boulevard is at the top of the people.
Oh, you have one.
Let's see if that's not going to show up on there. See if yours does. No, it doesn't work on the TV.
Oh, it doesn't. Okay, so on the bottom of the screen is Watertown Plank Road. On the top of the screen is Swan Boulevard, and to the west is US 45. So you can see that originally the roadway on this is the current construction plan for the site. It is now on the eastern part of the campus. It was at one time to be on the western part of the campus, which would not have required the significant grading that will be occurring.
Let me just reference that on the southwest corner, the lower left-hand corner, it's not depicted here, but that's where there are some loops for the interchange of Highway 45 and Watertown Plank Road. And the roadway, for any roadway that's intersecting near a freeway interchange, the DOT wants at least 500 to 1,000 feet. That 500 to 1,000 feet is what precluded the road from being on the west side of the Parks Building. In fact, even the way the road is laid, even the way that the road is laid out right now, this is less than 1,000 feet from what will be the on-ramp onto Highway 45. The reference right here is the Parks Building.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. And this is the campus rendering that depicts that southern entrance. And this was a part of the mayor's task force to address some of the concerns over the size of the wall, the changes to landscaping, and just the general entrance off of Watertown Plank Road into the campus. This is the rendering of ABB that's gone before Design Review Board and is currently being reviewed by that group. And then I'm sure you're all aware of the Eschweiler buildings and their condition, but thought I'd show a few pictures just as a reminder of its current condition.
We'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Meeting members. Supervisor Schmidt.
I guess I'll reserve. I'll wait. I mean, I've been briefed, and if I put 1,000 hours into all these kinds of issues, so over the years, there's no question about that. This is something that has been a long time coming, 10 years coming before some development when this whole process started. So I think UWM is. I don't know where else we've got a developer to come in, and you know, we just saw the Parks Administration building, for example, and other developers would say wipe that whole area out. Because that's a developable area. In the agreement, they, in essence, left the Parks Administration building there, paid for that, because that was part of the development agreement, paid for many things that they couldn't develop. And that's why, I could spend an hour talking about all the stuff going on. It's very true. But the essence of my comments would be until I have other speakers or other people want to speak to them, maybe reserve the at the end, maybe to try to summarize, is... this is I'll just leave it for that.
Supervisor Weishaupt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks for being here today. Appreciate the update. And I was hoping that you could go into a little bit on the changing of the TIF district and explain some of the impacts on the project for that. Because as, if I remember correctly, when this was first presented, it was we were going to build the infrastructure in phases as was needed, and then it was a decision by the city to say we're going to do the infrastructure all at once. And then now there's a concern of the cost of that construction, and you'll be changing, I guess, some, you said amending the TIF district and making some changes. So if you could just explain that a little bit and describe the impact to Milwaukee County on that.
Do you want to speak on the phasing?
Well, yeah, two pieces. One is that an extremely simplified description of the TIF district is that as the road is developed, there has to be development, taxable development on the balance of the property. It's from those individual tax payers and those individual tax payments that all of these various things get paid for. So we look at every individual project as it's developed, and when we look to, among other things, when we look to size what, if any, incentive can be given to that piece or that piece of the project, we have to look at whether it is consuming more of the resources of the TIF district or producing an excess of resources such that it's paying into the paying for the road itself or the other infrastructure that is not individually needed but needed for the balance of the whole campus. When we went through, we had talked about, and I don't think we have with us, but we talked about phasing exactly as you suggested. We're actually probably behind on the first phase, the first lower or southern leg of the road, but right on time with the balance of the road. So really it has just been a sort of a coincidence of time that the whole of the road is both needed and appropriate to put to be put in at one time rather than doing just the southern end now somewhat late and then later doing the northern piece of the road also late. The Department of Transportation has been eager for us to have the whole road in as well. Part of that is directly related to the phasing of the construction of the zoo interchange, some of the work of which has already been undertaken. Parts of Mayfair Road have already been reconstructed. There's another segment that goes roughly from Watertown Plank Road south to I-94 that's going to be done this year. Toward the end of this year, they're going to be doing Swan Boulevard, which is going to come out over by Underwood Parkway. But Discovery Parkway becomes critical to that whole plan because both for their purposes as a local detour, but also for our emergency response purposes, once they get past building Swan Boulevard, they're going to be working on Watertown Plank Road, inclusive of the interchange with Highway 45. At that point, Discovery Parkway in combination with Swan Boulevard will essentially serve as a detour route and emergency access so that our fire station, which is over in the research park, can get to the medical complex. So it's not that the road, Watertown Plank Road, is intended to be shut down in its entirety at any point, but as a backup, there has to be a means for people to get from west of the freeway at or about Watertown Plank Road over to the medical research or the medical center.
Right. No, Madam Chair, I understand that and understand the you could say the blocking of the with the zoo interchange and things like that and the different arterials. I was looking more for the financial impact because we're there was some TIF districts in Wauwatosa that were set to close, and then that those property taxes being paid would then flow to the school districts and Milwaukee County and other taxing entities, and now you're recommending a shift from that to this, which means that we will not be seeing that additional revenue to the other governmental entities.
Sure.
So if you could explain that.
Sure. Two things. One minor side note, we are closing a small TIF district this year. It was the one-time Camelot Motel on Blue Mound, on Blue Mound Road, which was created in a TIF district and has been converted to the Arvada place. That one's closing this year, but nonetheless, the one you're speaking of is the Research Park itself, which I believe opened in 1992, maybe give or take a year. And that has been slated for the past 2 or 3 years to be closed in 2015. That's exactly still the target date for it to close. What you're referring to specifically about shifting funding is that the Eschweiler buildings in the upper left-hand corner are actually within that same TIF district, which we refer to as TIF District Number 2. And so long as there is a project that does occur on and about the Eschweiler property that is within TIF District Number 2, that becomes an appropriate justification that TIF District Number 2 is able to participate in the cost of Discovery Parkway and the various infrastructure that's involved in trying to serve that building. So long as there is some viable economic use that reasonably needs the infrastructure to be there, TIF District Number 2 is able to participate. Why that doesn't change the end date of 2015 for closing TIF District Number 2 is because that TIF district would otherwise have not sufficient funds to move it ahead a year, but it also doesn't detract from it from pushing it back a year. So that's the participation from TIF District Number 2. It doesn't change the date one way or the other. The reason why TIF District Number 2 is able to do that, again, goes back to putting in Discovery Parkway, putting in Swan Boulevard, and then the DOT is actually going to be paying for a cost of rehabbing Watertown Plank Road that otherwise would have been bore by TIF District Number 2. So as all of these various pieces fit together, and it becomes extremely complex and has been very complex, TIF District Number 2 otherwise would have been paying for a part of Watertown Plank Road that it doesn't have to, because Discovery Parkway is going to be in place for the purposes of the DOT or the need of the DOT, and so they're willing to pay for Watertown Plank Road. That enables financially TIF District Number 2 to participate in TIF District Number 6.
Well, what I was looking for is the dollar value impact of this. Because of the construction of the road and because of this project, now this subsidy to the development will have to continue and is greater than what it was had this development not been undertaken. Because there was many other different options presented, everything from putting the accelerator building in our current Milwaukee County Research Park. So you wouldn't necessitate all of this infrastructure cost. So that's what I was looking for. If you could give us a dollar estimate of the impact, is it $1 million, $2 million?
The way, and again, under the adopted plan for the campus, we believe TIF District Number 2 is able to participate by about $5.8 million. However, when we were putting together the TIF District Number 2 project plan and looking to what has to be done yet before we can close it, one of the costs that we had in that TIF district was, I believe it was $6 to $8 million to put into Watertown Plank Road. So by how this has worked out, we actually come out ahead in that sense, just purely in terms of TIF District Number 2, when it closes and what financial obligations it has to meet before it can close.
Okay. Thank you. I guess one last thing I wanted to say about the TIF district, and that is in some of your comments earlier, you mentioned some of the historic preservation and environmental concerns, such as the habitat and things like that. I don't think it's fair to say that those costs are driving the extension of the TIF. It was made very clear to everyone who participated in this, whether it's VWM, you know, the developer and everything, that those were a requirement of this. And Milwaukee County made it very clear that it would be extremely expensive to rehabilitate the Eschweiler buildings that were out there. And every developer and everyone who sat at that table said, we can do it. We can do it, you know, somehow. And those of us were astonished on this side, said, you must have some kind of magic that we don't understand, because we said time and time again that the reason that these buildings have sat vacant for the last 15 years is because it's very expensive. And then so, you know, now to hear people come back and say that we may have to adjust our purchase price, that we may have to participate in other ways, I just think is a non-starter, because all of the negatives of this project were presented from the beginning. And actually, myself, I presented to the city of Wauwatosa an alternative on where we could locate the accelerator and things at a reduced cost. And people decided not to take that track. So if they want to come back now and claim that somehow they didn't know that the Eschweiler buildings were going to be very expensive to rehabilitate, or that the environmental habitat issues were of great concern to everybody, that is a very large mischaracterization of what took place at the beginning.
Well, Supervisor, I could just comment on that you are in fact correct that we were aware of the Eschweiler buildings and we were aware of the habitat, and we are making every possible effort to meet the spirit and the letter of our agreement with Milwaukee County and with the city of Wauwatosa. Certain realities come to fore as we get more information on this, and we will continue to update you as we move forward. Right now, we don't have anything to ask you for. We just want to make sure that you are aware of all the steps we're taking to make progress here. And the other thing that I'd like to comment on that's sort of lost in all this is that, you know, isn't it wonderful that we have a worldwide engineering company that's going to make a significant investment of hundreds of high-tech jobs in the city of Wauwatosa on our campus? And if you read the Journal Sentinel and other reports on this, it's really because they understand the collaboration with UW-Milwaukee and how important it was. And in fact, ABB was the anchor tenant, the first tenant in Centennial Campus at North Carolina State. And so they have experience, they have firsthand experience. It's been good for their business. It's been good for the economy there. And that's really why we're doing this. It's about economic development. It's about enhancing the opportunities for our faculty and our students. And, you know, everything we said in the beginning is actually coming true. So we're very pleased. We're here. You know, I understand that this is a very complex project, and we're going to have give and take back and forth. But together, we're all going to get there, and it's going to be wonderful.
Madam Chair, actually, that's a good segue into my next question, and that is with ABB. Could you explain the relationship between the Real Estate Foundation, and then we now have the Zilber Group?
Zilber
Group. And then ABB and how that all works together in this?
Sure. Essentially, what we're doing is we're selling a parcel of land to the Zilber Group, who is a well-respected developer and philanthropist in the county, in the city, and nationally. And they are going to construct a building, which they will then lease to ABB for their use for both their worldwide headquarters and power systems and 100 engineers and scientists to be located there. And the reason that they gave in the Journal Sentinel was that they wanted to be associated with UW-Milwaukee at School of Engineering, and they're very, very excited about being a part of this development given their experience down in North Carolina State.
Thank you. With that, if I recall that when a parcel is sold, that Milwaukee County is supposed to get a percentage?
75%.
Right. Do you have a guesstimate on what that amount would be?
You know, I don't just yet because we're still working on all the it's a very complex deal about, you know, with land easements and sales and leases, et cetera. But we'll come back to you with an exact figure.
Right. Also, do you have, you mentioned ABB and all of the things that they do. Do we have an understanding of how much will be basic office space and how much will be the research facility, or if there is a research facility?
Well, it's 100 engineers and scientists is what they reported to the Journal Sentinel. I can't speak for them, but that's 100 high-tech jobs.
Do we have, do we consider this an office building or a research facility? I guess that's if somebody asked me what this is, do I tell them it's a research facility or do I tell them it's an office building?
It's both. It's both.
Okay.
Surprise, Washington.
For right now, I don't have any
Any other questions?
I'll wait for any other speakers.
Okay, I also have a few questions, but I see Supervisor Broderick would like to ask a question. Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm pleased folks are here from UWM and Tulsa. My office has received, as of Saturday morning, the calls began, an inundation of concern being expressed by constituents who suddenly found trees felled that weren't expected to have been felled, and particularly on a Saturday. Now, this affords an opportunity, I think, to respond. If you heard some explanation for the reasons, but some opportunity to respond publicly, I think, to the, I guess I'd have to phrase them as allegations made by members of the environmental community who may, Mr. Gilbert, be happy with portions of this program but are terribly unhappy with the trees and the way that was gone about. What I've determined in my own investigation is UWM, Tulsa was not responsible for it. This, I talked to Mr. Lujak at UWM, so it's apparently the Real Estate Foundation and their relationship with the construction company that resulted in this happening on a Saturday. The allegations are that this was done quick and dirty to repress any public outcry or attempt to intervene. And I don't want to overestimate the number of complaints I've gotten, but 15 is at least, and these are people representing environmental groups as well. The explanation as to why it was done on a Saturday when there would probably be a shift differential as opposed to on a weekend when it would be less expensive, or a weekday when it would be less expensive to do so. If there was overcutting involved, if all the trees that were marked were taken down, or if there were trees that were unmarked that were also taken down, because many of these trees were over 100 years old. And the idea of replacing them would be, following on what Supervisor Weishon indicated, to wake up one morning and find four of the five Eschweiler buildings leveled would remove obstacles that we're going to be confronting. But perhaps it's not the most reasonable way or sensitive way to go about implementing one's plan. So I thought that it would be important to raise this now and offer the opportunity of explanation.
Would someone like to respond?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you for the question. I think that's a great opportunity to describe this. Referring to the Innovation Campus and the infrastructure. This is essentially the plan that was laid out. It's got to be a good year ago. In fact, I note that in the county's contract with the Real Estate Foundation, this is in fact not in detail, but this is in fact what was part of that agreement, was to push the road over to the easternmost portion. And you can see that the road itself necessitates a number of those trees being removed. As was mentioned before, additionally, the DOT is going to be widening Watertown Plank Road, which unfortunately also takes out a good share, at least a third of those trees. And I would say on behalf of, or to the credit of UWM Real Estate Foundation, they had even gone through and exhaustively looked at potentially a second retaining wall, one on the east side of the road, gone through and done a individual assessment of every one of the, I believe, 54 trees that were in that vicinity. When we awarded the contract back in December, from that point forward, we knew that the contractor at some point was going to begin the work. And so since then, it's been evident that the road is going to be put where the road has been planned to be put, and that those trees would in fact be coming out. Why on a Saturday, I don't know. I was probably as surprised as anybody to see the work begun, and I think that's a very natural reaction. Even if you sort of intuitively know something's going to happen with those trees, once you see it happening, that is shocking, surprising. But nevertheless, the contractor who is doing the road itself is Super Excavators. They have a subcontractor whose job it is to remove the trees. Why they chose a Saturday, I don't know. They were not directed to do it on a Saturday any more than a Wednesday, as far as we're concerned. What we have as part of the contract is that they have to be done by August. How and when they get that done, and if, in fact, they want to do it on a Saturday, whether that's time and a half or whatever, I have no idea. All I know is we have a contract that indicates they have to get done by August, which that piece of it was timed so that they are complete before the next butterfly nesting period, if I'm using the right terminology, roosting period, happens in September. So we've been trying to be extremely conscientious about the environmental needs out there, so much so that the requirement we had to complete before the roosting period necessitates that the contractor's got to get that work done sometime. If they choose to do it on a Saturday, that's their choice. So,
Supervisor Broderick.
Just a quick follow-up, Madam Chair. An employee of the Parks Department was a member of the, it's my understanding, and this is all based on what I've heard from constituents, the Planning Commission in Wauwatosa that approved this plan. She objected, apparently, to the removal of these trees and offered alternatives, but as a solution was herself removed from the committee so that that voice was no longer, that point of view was no longer given heed. So if we could perhaps have an explanation of that.
Mr. Gilbert.
I don't know who was removed from any committee. Certainly we have been totally open and all these meetings are public and all the environmental groups come to all these meetings. The mayor's task force, we had four very long meetings at Wauwatosa City Hall where everyone was there, everyone saw the plan, no one was excluded, and certainly the county Parks Department employees, actually I'm not going to use names, but one of it happened to be a gentleman, was intimately involved, understood what was going on, and essentially did not raise objections to the plans that came forth. Again, reminding everyone that we really don't have a choice on where this road goes. This is mandated by the DOT. So either it goes here or there is no road and there is no development and none of this happens.
Thank you. So, Madam Chair, just one final comment.
Mr. Bradley.
It's on the Ashwiler buildings. I'll pursue an answer to that.
Right.
If I may, Mr. Gilbert, I'll get back here. If this is to be reopened, to renegotiate the sale price of the land, perhaps consideration should be given to reopening and raising the price of the land purchase in order to accommodate and account for historic preservation of the buildings involved.
And actually, I did have a question about the Eschweiler. It seems that the decisions with regard to the Eschweiler buildings are being made by the City of Wauwatosa Preservation Committee. Am I correct in that regard?
Yeah. We have our Historic Preservation Commission, which has met numerous times, specifically with regard to the Eschweiler buildings. If any of those buildings are to be removed, the request has to be made to them. They have the option of issuing a certificate of appropriateness. If they deny that certificate of appropriateness, it then goes to the city council. If they approve that certificate of appropriateness to remove some of those buildings, then that ends with the Historic Preservation Commission.
Do you know when that decision is scheduled to be made?
They have, in that the Mendel group has not formally applied for it. It would be from the time that they actually apply to remove any buildings, the HPC has 45 days to issue a decision. So if or when they actually indicate that they're wanting to take any of them down, the HPC has 45 days to do so, or to render a decision. In addition, the HPC was in our city resolution to create the Innovation Campus. We explicitly put in there that any of the development in that area, that quadrant of the park, has to go through the HPC for design review. Normally, design review is a separate body, but because of the historic nature of the buildings, the council deemed it appropriate that the Historic Preservation Commission should act as the design review committee.
So I think the Mandel Group is trying to look at this project to determine how affordable it is with regard to the preservation issues. And they're bringing forward this request for a formal certificate, then we'll start to put some of this into motion, apparently. This figure you had given to the committee that depending on how much of the Eschweiler buildings get preserved can cause a gap, which you're concerned with regard to your TIF, anywhere between 2.5 and 6 million. Am I stating that correctly?
Yeah. Two and a half and six and a half.
Some of my concern there is all of those decisions are being made within your Historical Preservation Committee and going forward with the Mandel Group, and that gap may cause you to come back to the county at that point. I do have some concerns about that because it seems like the decision-making is completely within the city of Wauwatosa's prerogative, and yet may cause you to then come back and look for county participation. Seems a little bit awkward.
With regard to the buildings and what ultimately happens to them, that largely, though not exclusively, rests with the Historic Preservation Commission. What, if any, financial assistance through the TIF district is appropriate or awarded to that project would go through our Budget and Finance Committee and the Common Council ultimately. You know, I raise the specter of, you know, we've got a gap, and that's what everybody's working on right now, Mandel, UWM Real Estate Foundation, the city. It all goes back to this delicate balance of historic preservation, environmental preservation, and economic development. So I pose the question because really it comes down to, is that still what everybody wants to see happen there? If everybody wants to see those buildings preserved, there's an opportunity, but obviously it comes with a cost. And again, I am reasonably certain that from our conversation with our council last Tuesday, it's not entirely clear that project through the financing of a TIF district could pay for all of that restoration. And that stops even short of that project aiding in paying for other infrastructure that is necessary for the whole park to be viable. So that's why I bring that up.
And I appreciate your bluntness on that.
I took the Springstead study as verification that to a reasonable standard of certainty that there is in fact that gap. We went through that exercise to make sure that we knew what we were dealing with. So now we know what we're dealing with. How all of us partners figure that out is yet to be seen, but that's the opportunity. If that's still the so to speak, three-legged stool that we want to stand on, then we all need to figure out how to deal with it.
Okay. There's a public member that wanted to speak on this, and I know Supervisor Schmidt wanted the last word on all of this, so why don't we get the Mr. Brian Buert, am I stating that correctly?
Buert.
To come up and make your comments, and then I will permit Supervisor Schmidt. Supervisor Weishin, you have one more question on this? All right, let's get the public comments, sir. Why don't you come forward? Yep, please.
Mr. Ewert is one of my, well, in fact, he is my alderman. But he's one of our aldermen, actually one of our more senior ones, been on the city council since 2006, and is on the Budget and Finance Committee, which has the TIF piece to this whole thing. So
I appreciate the introduction, so we have your complete resume before us now, I guess.
I was going to fly under the radar. Thanks, Jim.
Mr. Bewitt.
Just kidding. Madam Chairperson, thank you for the time here. The question that
please.
I really came for information purposes, because this has been so many moving parts for so many years. I know Supervisor Schmidt, who's my supervisor, and I'm his alderman and neighbor, has been working on this a very long time as well. And so my first question to get to the point was, when did the county sell this to UWM, and for how much, and how many acres, and then how much of the acreage was available for development? Does somebody have that information?
Supervisor Schmidt, you want to address that?
The final price was 13.5 that was paid to the county. We've had one $5 million payment. We have another $5 million payment coming. And then we have four other payments coming in 16 years of $887,000. The whole package was really between 80 and 90 acres. Developable land was always talked about between 50, 60, maybe possible development acres. That's been knocked down, developable acres, because of some of the things that Ms. Enders and others have talked about. I know DOT coming in on Swan Boulevard and 45, taking a lot of that land away. The fact that, you know, keeping our Parks Administration building there, that private development would only be on the Watertown Plank area. There are covenants as far as height. I mean, this is why I don't think any other developer could have come in and done this, because no developer could come in and make money off this parcel, particularly with all the environmental concerns that have been expressed. You got a microcosm today of about 1,000 hours of what I've been through in the last decade plus. This is a constant thing about with the preservation.
And we're not doing a public hearing today on the whole agreement, which has already been,
right,
if you will, put to bed. And Mr. Brewer, you're here to make a public comment. We're really not having a debate on the issue of this agreement.
Yeah, well then.
So if you could make your comments, please.
Well, in order to make my public comment, I needed to place that into context, so I appreciate that. What Mr. Archambault said, and I don't know this to be completely true, and if I was in your seats, I would be asking 1,000 questions. But the county may have to reduce, in my opinion, the purchase price. I don't know all the intricate details. I'm still doing my research here, but $13.5 million, 80 to 90 acres was your estimate. I thought it was smaller. I think it was pared down to how much was developable, to what, 15, 20 acres or something like that. So what happened is you're trying to get, you know, 10 pounds of groceries in a 5-pound bag here, is my opinion. And what needs to happen is, like they said, everybody needs to kind of take a step back, in my opinion, and say, how can we make this work? Because as somebody pointed out at our Common Council meeting last week, $2 million for 4 acres, $500,000 an acre is very expensive. I don't care who you are, you know, you to try and make a profit on that expensive a piece of property is a tough deal. So my other question, I know it's I'm not engaging dialogue here, but is Mr. Weisham?
Supervisor Weisham
said that there was a that back whenever this took place, they were made aware that these buildings were dilapidated. They were, you know, long gone. Whether, you know, this is going to be a miracle project. Who is they? I don't. All I hear about is Mendel, because UWM is partnered with Mendel. So why don't we have 6-12 developers coming in here and trying to work their magic? Because I feel like Mendel right now is trying to manipulate the process and trying to push on us for TIF. And Jim's exactly right. There was really no appetite for it on the Common Council. So there's a lot of moving parts. I'm you know, trying to understand your perspective, UWM's perspective, our perspective. There's just a lot of hands in the pot. We have a lot of confidence in Jim and Paulette, because there are so many moving parts. When you're dealing with 4 or 5, you know, county government, state government, federal government, and city government, it's complex. So I'm here to just say we want to work with you guys, but it may take reducing the purchase price.
We're not being asked to do that today, so thank you for your comments. I understand that.
That's why I said may.
We may be looking at this again. But Supervisor Weisham, if you could keep it brief,
yes,
and then we're going to let Supervisor Schmidt have the final.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to make one point to the city. One of the complaints that I've received from some of my constituents that are concerned with this is the timeliness of noticing of meetings. Yes, you've had quite a few meetings on this, but one of the concerns is that there hasn't been enough notice ahead of time for anyone to really meaningfully participate in some of these discussions. And I would hope that you would take that into consideration as we move forward on this. And just one last piece. Everybody here, the Real Estate Foundation, they're professionals in real estate. They entered into a contract with Milwaukee County. I expect them to live up to that contract. All of the stuff, like I said, we presented, you know, this idea that somehow there's all these unknowns and question marks. Honestly, I'm not interested in that. We put out all those question marks, and we were told, you know what? You're just a little county supervisor. You don't know anything about real estate. We know how to do this. So my response is, you guys are the professionals. You get it done. And I just want my check on time and do the payment schedule. We're adults here. We're supposed to act like a business. We got a contract. You live up to the contract. Any other of the other minutiae you guys have to deal with is not of my interest. I want the check, and I want it in the bank. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Schmidt.
Maybe Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you.
Makes his comments. I've heard a lot this morning, and I'm looking for a lot of that to be put on paper so that, and I don't know when this is going to happen. It may happen within the next month, the next couple of months, but I appreciate it being put on paper so that we understand what's before us as it relates to any modification that could possibly occur, what the financials would be, what's being proposed to us, because as Supervisor Weisham has indicated, there's a contract, and we expect that the provisions of that contract would be carried out. So.
Well, yeah, and just to make this record clear, this is strictly informational today, mm-hmm. to give us an update on where we are, and I think no one was asked to make any changes to our development agreements. That's not before us today. If and when we get to such an issue, if we are requested to revisit this, Supervisor Johnson, we will need to get a lot of facts and figures before us.
I just wanted to state that, Madam Chair.
Yeah. I understand. Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
All right, Supervisor Schmidt, and then we're going to complete this item.
Okay, and because there's no action, I will try to be brief. But as you can see, you know, this goes back, you know, to 12 plus years ago when I ran. There were 2 years. This whole area, the north, I mean, there's four quadrants that make up the county grounds. So you can see the, you got the DOT, PSD, you got the DNR, you got DOT, you got MMSD. You got a classic example of developers versus preservationists. Okay, classic example. You've got the city of Wauwatosa. You got UWM. Well, you got the idea. And, of course, Milwaukee County Board. It's our land. Our staff has looked at the development agreement and will certainly want to, you know, that can be revisited. There is nothing, I don't think the staff has found, that contradicts or goes against anything that we did. Our major agreement, of course, is the whole Eschweiler complex and the area around that. That is has been talked about today. It's in the TIF. It's part of the research part, so there's our responsibility. That's where that comes in. It's always difficult. I will go back to, I was against, by the way, the hospice coming in at Honey Creek Parkway. That's a long time ago, a few years ago, and when you saw all the trees down and stuff, that was pretty devastating to see. It's always difficult to see that. But it's, I guess my final points would be that there are 325 plus acres on the northeast quadrant of the county grounds. The four quadrants are bigger than the village of Shorewood. It's I just talked with all the parties, and you throw in the medical complex and Ronald McDonald, what we call it mental health. You got the idea. It's unbelievable the time spent. And necessary time spent between the county and Wauwatosa. That's why I feel I'm part of Wauwatosa. I've lived there for 35 years, too. But it's been a very difficult, time-consuming, the microcosm of democracy between preservationists and developers. So these are the same kinds of issues and arguments that have been gone over for the last 12 years. They remain still important today. I'm very proud of seeing the county board has taken those into consideration. Again, I don't know what other partner could have come in. This was always going to be after years of negotiation and tough decisions that this was a developable area. The Eschweiler complex had come back to Watertown Plain. I was a major sponsor of five resolutions that preserve the rest of this northeast quadrant. We have a detention basin now that was highly, highly controversial. We have the 55 acres of parkland in between the development zone and the detention basin is. At 50 acres of hardwood forest we preserved across the street because the northeast quadrant is bisected by Swan Boulevard. The reality is with the DOT and the Public Service Commission, that's another whole area we haven't touched upon, affects all these. And it's all in my district. So I'm very aware of all these issues. I think every group has been upset at me. Developers, preservationists, maybe UWM, maybe this, maybe that, maybe the city. That proves to me, I think, that I've done the job that I was elected to do, is to make sure all the parties have a chance to come to the table, that we do something rational here, that we not only preserve as much as we possibly can, and that's been the major development in the Northeast Quadrant, because I knew the rest of the quadrants would be fully developed. We're talking about the medical quadrant. We want that to stay in Milwaukee County. That's been a battle itself. There are many other issues here, okay? But maybe someday after I'm gone, And things settle down, the dust clears, people will say, well, you know, maybe he did something decent after all. And I take this pretty personally because I have spent many, many hours on this. And necessarily so, but I am very proud to say that we have got the detention people need to save businesses. We have the preservation. We have 55 acres of parkland. We have a partner who is willing to go through all these necessary environmental hoops that no other developer would even think about, and that's the answer that Supervisor Ewert, or Alderman Ewert, was looking for, is why does all this stuff come on? When we pass this, I hope it's my last point, I could go on, but I won't, is that we looked at the Eschweiler buildings, and everybody said, any developer that comes in needs to look at them to preserve those. That was the environmental committee that I supported. Okay, no developers coming in here with a plan saying we're leveling the Ashwiler buildings. Okay, the caveat and the necessary idea was when they come in, we'll have to see what the price will be. But we want every effort made to save those buildings and preserve as much as we can. Then the butterfly came and we preserved those 11 acres, which is non-developable also now, okay, through county board and well with TOSA work. So that's the situation we're in. And we need public disclosure. I think we always had. It's been very upfront. Any more questions or need to be done, I'm sure can be handled. I'm very excited about the quality development. When I say I represent all taxpayers, I represent all the different interests there, the environmental. We promised we'd have quality development to pay off this TIF. And by the way, this TIF in the research park was like 25, 27 years. Your big one is going to be paid off in 15 years. And it's unbelievable how successful the research park has been, Milwaukee County Research Park, through our help and our association. So I'm very confident because of the things that have gone on, the people I see in this room. Ms. Didier has been very helpful in all these kinds of things, bringing parties together as the ex-mayor of Wauwatosa. So we have people here who have, we lost a lot of history, unfortunately, you've
exactly
talked about, and that's very troublesome. But I guess the only, when I look upon this board, and look upon the Common Council, I look upon all the players here, the only person who now has the history of all these many years is me. I've been in the trenches the whole time. And I would have to say, because of this great discussion we're having, this is a terrifically difficult and complex, you know, and look at all the fingers on my hands. That's all the parties who have passionate about what they want to see done, okay? Not only the environmentalists. They're certainly passionate, deservedly so. This is an environmentally sensitive area. But you know what? We all had to come together, and that's what democracy is. No one gets the whole piece of the pie. We work hard, very, very hard, to make sure everybody comes to the table and everybody gets a piece. We have a small piece for development and taxpayers and the payoff TIFs. We have 55 acres of parkland, et cetera, et cetera. So everybody has come to the table. I don't know what more we can do except have the same discussions we've had for these many years and come and say, we just have to compromise. If everybody is a little bit unhappy, then we've done our jobs, because it's absolutely impossible to make everybody whole and everybody happy about this. It's so complex, you know the history, and I'll stop there.
Yeah, Supervisor Schmidt, I want to say I appreciate you on this. You're the go-to person as far as I'm concerned. I think the board agrees when we're talking about the county grounds. And we can talk about policymaker roles, but you have to get involved with the details to make good policy. So thank you. And we do require that you stay with the board until this is done, because we basically have lost.
Well, I'm hoping
all
to.
Of our,
not for 15,000.
We've lost all of our staff persons. So I want to thank Mr. Gilbert. Let's not lose track of the good news that he brought for us. And Mr. Archambault and Paulette Emmers, thank you for coming. I fear we may be visiting this again in the future, but we appreciate your updates. And then, Madam Clerk, we're going to call item 5. I'm going to ask you to stay for item 5 because I think it's somewhat related if you still...